Okay, thank you so much for coming out. The question was raised regarding going to a country that has a little bit of danger involved, whether maybe the State Department gives a warning not to go there. I was looking at the website today on the State Department's website regarding certain places to go, certain places not to go. They strongly suggest, they subtly suggest to not go to certain places. And also in light of current events in France, you know, it's not exactly a place that is hospitable to Jews nowadays. And in light of that, is that a place where Jews should be living? Is it usher to live there? Things of that nature. How does the issues of putting oneself in sakana, in the place of danger, how does that affect where a person lives, where a person visits, where a person vacations? So let's begin, as many things are, with the Gemara in Brachos. And Daf Amud Beis. The Gemara in Brachos says that a person has a mitzvah to remove himself from danger based on the pasuk of "Unishmarta ma'od the nafsho seichem." So let's look at the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Ma'aseh b'chasidecha shayv mispal b'derech. There was a case of a chasid, a very pious person, who was davening in the way, basar echad, and a dignitary, some sort of noble, came by, v'nasan lo shalom, and said hello to the person, v'lo hichzir lo shalom, and the person did not respond because he was in the middle of davening. So the sar, the noble, waited until the person, this Jew, this chasid, was finished davening. So Amalei, Reka, you empty person. Doesn't it say in your Torah, you have to guard your soul? You need to guard your nefesh, you need to guard your life. When I say hello to you, why don't you say hello back to me? If I were to cut off your head with my sword, would anyone come to me and complain? I would have had perfect right for your insolence of not responding, shalom, to me, and therefore I would have the right to kill you for not responding. This is in the context of being shalom, different types of responses during kriya shema, beina prakim. This is the context of the Gemara. So the Gemara seems to imply here, and it's not even a Tana telling us, it's a sar, a noble, telling us that it says in the Torah, you need to guard your life. And this seems to be the source. This seems to be the indication that a person needs to guard their lives, needs to make sure that your life is kept, that you protect yourself. And we're not going to discuss all the ramifications of guarding your soul tonight. There's a lot to add to that. There's actually an entire sefer, a very popular sefer called Shmiras HaGuf VaHaNefesh, guarding your body and your soul, which lists through over 100 chapters of all different types of things that are discussed in the Gemara and the Rishonim, things that are damaging to a person, whether it's spiritually damaging or physically damaging. This two-volume sefer, which is very popular, discusses all these different types of things. We're not going to scratch the surface of all the implications of this pasuk in the Torah, this Gemara, but clearly the Gemara is telling us that a person needs to, you know, protect himself and make sure that he does things to keep himself alive. This is cited by the Rambam in Hilchos Yetzirah Yud Aleph Dalet Hey. Look here in the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph in Hilchos Yetzirah.
Was the criticism correct then?
No. He responds in kind and says that if I was sitting with my Melech Malchim Lachim, I'm saying for a Kodesh Baruch, I wouldn't have to respond to you. And then he gives an explanation for why, technically, he wasn't putting his life in danger. But he doesn't argue on the point that you're not supposed to put your life in danger. He just argues that in this point, he wasn't violating the Isser. That's his response back to the Tsar.
But obviously the Tsar must have known that he shouldn't talk back to him because he waited till after he finished davening.
So there's lots to learn from the Gemara itself, but the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Amud Beis is the source. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yetzirah Lechein, this is in the mitzvah of Micah, putting a border around a tall area. You're right, you can't have an exposed landing where people could possibly fall off. So the Rambam says Lechein Kol Nichshol Sheish Po Sakanos Nefashos Mitzvasei Lasiru. Any single time there's any sakana to a person's life, then you must remove it. As it says, the Shamer Mimenel is Hermi Dover Yafi Yafi, to be very careful. Shneamar, he Shamelacha, Vishmor Nafshacha, you must guard your soul, your life. Vimlo Hesir, Veniach, and Mechsholos, and Vavilan de Sakana, if you do not remove things from your property, that could cause someone danger. B, tell Mrs. Esse, you have been negligent in fulfilling a positive commandment, the other below Sesim Daman, and you are violating a negative commandment of not placing blood in your vicinity. Harbe Dvar Masu Chachamim. There are many, many things the rabbis forbade, or the Chachamim forbade. We'll discuss in a moment whether this is a Torah or rabbinic prohibition. Asu Chachamim Neshiyish from Sakar Safashos. There are many, many things. V'chalover Alein V'omer Harini Misakan Atzmi. Person who violates these and says, I'm going to put myself in danger. Uma la'acher malai bekach. Who cares what other people think? Oeni makbid bekach. I'm not going to care about this. Makan oso makas mardus. We give him lashes. Makas mardus are rabbinic lashes, not lashes from the Torah, but rabbinic lashes. And this is cited also by the Shulchan Aruch in two places. In Choshen Mishpat, Taf Chaf Zayin Ches, there the Shulchan Aruch brings the same halacha. And also in Yerodeus and Kufta Zayin, after the Shulchan Aruch has finished all the regular laws of Kashrus, then in Kufta Zayin, it goes and discuss things we don't eat because they are a sakana. And there the Gemara, there the Shulchan Aruch cites this as well to guard one's life and it's not to something that is dangerous. Okay, now the Marasha here on the Gemara Brachos just does point out this is actually not Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk in the beginning of Dvarim is actually talking about making sure you guard your neshama and not doing averos, and not doing sins. It's not actually talking about your guf. It's more talking about your neshama, something spiritual. The Marasha says that ein pshuto yosem the ein mikro yosem pshuto, that both things are found in the pasuk. The pasuk can be read to discuss one's spiritual well-being and also one's physical well-being, and therefore both apply to the pasuk. The implication of most of the poskim and the rishonim is that this is a din d'oraisa. It's clear from the Tefillah Shor, which is a popular Sefer Hilchos Shchita, in Yud Gimel Beis, where he says this is a din d'oraisa, and the Aruch HaShulchan near the end of Choshen Mishpat in Taf Chav Zayin also says that this is a din d'oraisa, a Torah commandment to protect oneself. While other poskim, like the Levush, the Talmud of the Rabbah, in Simin Yoredea Kufta Zayin, does seem to imply that this is a din d'rabbanan, and some achronim like to differentiate between what type of danger it is. If it's something that's very dangerous, maybe that's a din d'oraisa. If it's a little dangerous, maybe that's only a din d'rabbanan. And it's very difficult to try to establish what falls under the category and what doesn't, right? We saw the Rambam say that you give makas mardus, you give rabbinic lashes, but the Rambam clearly cites a pasuk. So Rav Asher Weiss and others give a very good understanding of how to approach this. So they say that this might fall under the category of Yisrei Derabban and Sheish Lan Ikar Min HaTorah, where the Torah gives you a category that this is Aser, but it's hard to delineate and understand what the category is and what fits into the category. And what happens is the rabbis step in and say that this falls under the category and this falls under the category and this falls under the category, and therefore when you violate it, it's technically a din derabanan because the rabbis are telling you that this is usur, but it stems from Nisr del Raisa. And therefore that's what the Rambam would say, you get makas mardus, but it still comes to the Torah. We find a similar thing when it comes to the mitzvah of v'hafzal reicha kamocha. The Torah says you need to love your friend as you love yourself. But the problem is, the Torah doesn't tell us how one does that. But we know, the Rambam says, there's achnasas kalim, levayis hames, and all these wonderful mitzvahs that we do that fall under v'hafzal reicha kamocha, that is the rabbis coming and telling you, oh, do you want to know how to fulfill this Torah commandment? We're going to give you things that fall into that category. So it's a din d'rabbanan that stems from a pasuk in the Torah, this interesting category in between. And that's how some poskim relate to this. The Mesillas Yesharim writes in Perek Tes, in the ninth Perek of Mesillas Yesharim, that a person who doesn't treat his body with respect and puts himself in danger thinks that I'm such a Baal Bitachon, look at me, I'm bungee jumping, I have such trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says Mesillas Yesharim, you're not a Baal Bitachon, you're a fool. And you're putting your life in a precarious situation. And this person should be punished min HaShemayim, says Mesillas Yesharim, to go and take the guf that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you and to put it in a dangerous situation is something you should be held accountable. There's a famous opinion of the Radvaz. The Radvaz, in the end of Hilchos Sanhedrin, in Yud Ches Zayin, notes that, Yud Ches Zayin points out that if a person goes to Beis Din and says, you know, I ate a non-kosher, you know, I should be punished for it, I should get malchus. So that's called hodas baal din. The person comes and admits his aveira, and the person can be punished. But hodas baal din, a person comes and admits his aveira, which leads to a capital punishment, is not accepted. A person cannot come and say, I murdered this person, therefore I should be killed. So the Radvaz explains why. Because that is considered suicide. And a person does not have permission to commit suicide because your body is not your own. Your body is given to you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perform mitzvos and to do mitzvos. And for you to take that into your own hands and decide that I'm going to put my body in danger and possibly not have the ability to do mitzvos anymore, says the Radvaz, is not within your pay grade. You do not have that ability to make that decision to end your life. And therefore, a person needs to protect his life. We have Chaskel Abramsky and the Chazon Yecheskel on the ninth parak of Baba Kama says that we are not the masters of our own body to see fit as we to do with them as we see fit, and we're not doing what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants with us. The Sefer Chasidim elaborates on this, and the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yudam and Aleph says that if something involves danger, it's more prohibitive than something that's usher. Right, says the Gemara here in Chulin Daf Yudam and Aleph. Ve'ilu safek mayim megulin asurin. If you have safek mayim megulin, safek water that was left exposed and could contain potential poisons, so it's asur. Shmamina chamira sakanasa misura. We are more strict when it comes to something that's dangerous to you than when it comes to something that is asur to you, and that is the extent that we take this halacha. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph tells us that Rav Yanai Badik Vavar, Rav Yanai would always check the boat before he went into it to travel in the boat. So Rav Yanai the Tameh, Rav Yanai is l'shitaso, he follows his derech in life. Damar la'olam al yamod adam b'makum sakana. A person should not stand ever in a dangerous place. Lomar and say, Shos lo nes, began a miracle who happened to me. Now I'm going to walk it through a minefield. And you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of me, and a miracle is going to happen. Says the Gemara, Shema'in osin lo nes. Maybe a miracle won't happen. Ve'im osin lo nes. And even if you do get a nes, even if something miraculous does occur, says the Gemara, Menachem lo mizuchu yosav. It wipes out your merits in Olam Haba, even merits in this world. So be careful. If you're going to put yourself in a dangerous situation and rely on a miracle, you're going to have to pay back someplace else. Amar Rav Chanan, my kara katonti mikol chasid mikol emes. Yaakov even says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've become small from all the chesed you've done to me. Maybe I have no more merits to fight and to beat Esa. The Maharal, in his Chedushi Agados here on Shabbos, says that when you rely on a miracle, you cause schar from Olam Haba to be used up and taken away. And he says, this is based on the pasuk of Lo Sinosu Es Hashem Elokeichem. You're not allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't walk into a situation and say, Hashem, it's up to you to take care of me. No. It's up for you to take care of yourself. It's not for Hashem to take care of you. The Meiri there in Shabbos also says the Isser stems from a person putting himself in danger when he causes the satan to prosecute you. And they have a basin, and the basin Shemaila, and they'll judge you, and is this person worthy to live through this dangerous situation, which is also a problem. The Rambam in Hilchos Ritzeach, Yud Beis Vav, says as follows. V'chein lo yinot ha-sakin b'soch esrog, you shouldn't take a knife and stick it into a fruit, or b'soch ha-tzanon, shema yipol adam al-chud av-yamos, maybe a person will trip and fall on the esrog, and there'll be a knife there, and they'll die. V'chein osur la-adam la-vor tachas kir natoy, you can't go under a shaky wall or gesheru or a shaky bridge. Or l'ikanis l'chor v'll go into a ruin. V'chein kol kayotze be'elu, and like all these other things, mishara sakanos, Asur lavor mimkoman, you cannot enter into a place of sakana, says the Rambam. Not just before that, it's asur to have things that are sakana, but you may not enter into a place that is a sakana according to the Rambam. The Rama in Yeradeh Kufta Zayin Hey says, Asur lelech mikol makom sakana kumotachas karinatoi v'yichidu alayla. The Rama brings, as the Shach says, the lashon of the Rambam, that it's asur to go to a dangerous place. That seems to be a clear-cut halacha, right? A person would not seem to be allowed to go to a country, an area in the country where it's dangerous to go, where a person is putting their life, or at least their health, in some form of danger. That seems to be a clear-cut halacha in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. But, like most things, there are exceptions to the rule. So what are some of the exceptions to the rule? So the first exception to the rule is the famous comment of Shomer Pesayim Hashem, that in many places, the Gemara in Shabbos and Kuf Chaf Tes Amud Beis says that we allow bloodletting on Erev Shabbos, even though the Gemara thinks it's a special sakana to do bloodletting on Erev Shabbos. Bloodletting in general is a sakana, but back then there was good medical science. So bloodletting on Erev Shabbos usually should be a sakana. The Gemara says people do it anyway. Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem will guard the foolish. So this is what people do. So Hashem will protect them. The Gemara in Yevamos, Yudbeis, and Mubeis has a similar comment. And on Ayin Beis in Yevamos, the Gemara says that you can do Bris Milah on a cloudy day. Says the Gemara, some sort of sakana that comes to doing Bris Milah on a cloudy day. Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem will protect those who are foolish. So we have such a concept. And the Gemara usually says, Davar Shadashu Bo Rabim. This is a thing that people walk over. People don't pay attention to it. People don't care about it. And therefore, in these cases, it is allowed. However, it can't be really, really dangerous, as we'll see momentarily. The Rav Chaim Ozer, the Achiezer and Ebezer Aleph Chaf Gimel says that the idea can only be used in unique cases. You can only apply Shomer Pesayim Hashem in the cases where it was applied in the Gemara. You can't come up with new cases of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. But we know it's not really the case, because Rav Moshe applies Shomer Pesayim Hashem in his famous shuv about smoking. Right? Rav Moshe says that people in his generation smoked, and therefore he felt it was Shomer Pesayim Hashem, because many people did it, and therefore he felt he could not say that it was usser. Now that shuv is obviously off for debate nowadays, but nevertheless, Rav Moshe is taking Shomer Pesayim Hashem, that Hashem guards the foolish, and does apply it in a different area as well. Okay, the next application of Shomer Pesayim Hashem is found by Rav Yaakov Edlinger in his Binyan Sion in Kuf Lamed Zayin. He says that if a person is already in a dangerous situation, then he has to do what's ever possible to remove himself from that situation. If you find yourself in the middle of a war zone, so you need to do your best to get out of the war zone. However, if the danger is not yet present, if you're in a place where a danger will be coming, but the danger is not yet present, so he says that if there's a less than a 50% chance that something's going to happen, then you're allowed to continue doing it. Shomer Pesayim Hashem only allows you to continue to be in a place where the danger is not yet present, but there's a chance that the danger may come. And therefore, he says that the sakana only applies if the person is already ill or some other situation which might lead to a death. But it doesn't restrict you from going to a place where a sakana may develop in the future. So you can go to a country where there might be danger later on, says Rav Yaakov Edlinger, but if there's danger right now, then you would not be allowed to go. Some people will restrict the entire idea of Shomer Pesayim Hashem to an Am Haaretz, because someone who doesn't know any better. The Trumas Hadeshen in Reshit Aleph notes that there's a prohibition of marrying a katlanis. A katlanis is a woman who married, you know, two or three times already, and the husband died, she's like a black widow, and therefore she's allowed to marry again. So the Rambam and the Rif famously say that we don't have the concept of katlanis anymore. We don't prohibit any marriage because of what happens in the past. So the Trumas Hadeshen says that Shomer Pesayim Hashem, you know, people are getting married anyway in this fashion. So the Trumas Hadeshen says, Shomer Pesayim Hashem is only for an Am Haaretz. But a Talmid Chacham who knows better shouldn't engage in something and rely on Shomer Pesayim Hashem. It's only for, that's what the Pasuk says, the foolish. Only the Hashem protects the foolish. But if you're not foolish, so don't do it. Right? The Pasuk's telling you exactly what to do. So that's the first issue of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. The other is, what about Letzorach Mitzvah? Can you go to the country for the sake of a mitzvah? We'll see at the end of Tshuva regarding doing Kiruv in a country where it is dangerous. So the Gemara famously says in Psachim, and Daf Ches Amud Beis here, the second to last source, Amar Rav Elazar, Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizukin, right? Someone who goes to do a mitzvah will not be damaged. V'lo b'halilachasan, v'lo b'chazirasan. Now that we're going, now that we're coming, a person will not be damaged. Right? And the Gemara there says you can do b'dikas chametz in a snake-infested wall, even though they might bite you because you're doing a mitzvah, and you're not going to be hurt in that case. But it's not entirely clear where to apply this. The Shmir Sedef HaNefesh is a whole chapter regarding how to understand a person who's involved in the mitzvah and they're protected. And there's a very interesting piece in the Stei Chemen, an encyclopedic work, which is very hard to find anything you're looking for an encyclopedia. So the Stei Chemen writes in Chelek Zion on page 1464 as follows, that even, he writes the name of the Taras Hamayim, that even going to Mimkadesh Shem Shemayim, going to do Kiddush Hashem, does not push away a sakana. You say, oh, I'm going to this dangerous place, but I'm going to make a great Kiddush Hashem. So it says the Stei Chemen, no, it's not a heter to go. Even being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim is not a heter to go to a dangerous place. The Taras Hamayim says the Stei Chemen, that you're only allowed, Kiddush Hashem is when it comes to you. You don't go looking for Kiddush Hashem. You don't walk into a place, you know, to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim to put your life on the line. If it comes to you, so you're Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, but you're usher to put yourself in a sakana, you're going to have to put your life on the line and to sanctify Hashem's name. So says the Stei Chemen. Okay, what about one's livelihood? And we'll return to this in a second. A person has a business trip in a country where it's dangerous to go there. It's not so easy to do business. So is a parnasa a heter for going to a dangerous country? So the Gemara in Bava Basia Kufi Beis Amar Alev says, the last source on the page, Ve'elav hu noseas nafsho. So it says that the worker is noseas nafsho. His life is in your hands. B'pnei ma, why is the worker's life in your hands? Ma ala zebe keves v'nad labilan. Right, the worker goes on the ramp, and the worker goes in the tall tree to pick fruit, and he's up there 40, 50, 60, 70 feet in the air, and, you know, he's working very hard, and he could fall off the tree. You know, how is that allowed? So the Gemara seems to imply what? That a person is allowed to, for their parnasa, put themselves in danger. You're allowed to have a dangerous job, to go climb up a 50-foot tree to go pick fruit. The Gemara says, no, this is really talking, in a, we can just... There's another level of interpretation that it's talking about the person who owes him money, that you have his life in your hands, because by not paying him money, you know, you're taking his life away from him. But the Gemara keeps its, you know, its pashup shot, that a person is allowed to engage in a parnasa that has a level of danger to it. You're allowed to go to, you know, some far-off country to do business, even though it might put you in a precarious situation. This seems to be an understanding of the Gemara in Bava Metzia. There is a famous tshuva from the Nodi Yehuda in Yoredei Tanyana Simen Yud about hunting. There are a lot of interesting things that come out of the Nodi Yehuda's famous tshuva about hunting. But the one that we care about is the questioner says, I engage in hunting because it is a parnasa. It gives me money that I can support my family. Even though hunting can be dangerous. The animal attacks you. We're not talking about, I guess, hunting nowadays, where you go out with a high-powered rifle, and you're sitting in a jeep, and there's some, it's not just you, your gun versus the animal, so it's probably a little bit more exciting back then in the days of the Northern Huda, where it's maybe a little bit more intense. And this person's putting his life on the line to go hunting, and says in Northern Huda, for the sake of a parnasa, I'll allow you to hunt. Says in Northern Huda, for the sake of parnasa, a person can hunt, and it is not a problem. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Choshen Mishmach Aleph Kuf Dalet, that a person is allowed to engage in sports as a profession, if there was such a Jewish person who could engage in sports as a profession. But if this person did exist, so then he would be allowed to engage in sports, even though it hurts you. Now, a person's a football player, and there's some damage, a basketball player. Now, a person can get hurt and injured in the sports. So Rav Moshe says, for the sake of a parnasa, a person can become, you know, be involved in professional athletics and make a parnasa from it, even though it carries certain bodily and physical danger that comes along with it. So says Rav Moshe. So we see that when it comes to a livelihood, we would allow it. So we'll have to see which level of risk would we apply this to. So let's discuss different levels of risk in the remaining time that we have. Something that is a minimal risk. Let's go back to Shomer Pesach Hashem. If something is minimal, the risk is not a factor at all, so we don't look at statistics. We look at what people do. And the Chassam Sofer is a tshuva in Yoredeya, in Shin Lamed Ches, where he says that we apply Shomer Pesach Hashem to a case of 1 in 1,000. If it's 1 in 1,000 that something dangerous is going to happen, so the Chassam Sofer says, I don't care about it, it's not an issue, you can enter into that level. And it's not a problem. And let's just look at cars for a second. Cars, the death of cars is about 1 in about 100 million miles. I mean, for every 100 million miles driven, there'll be one death in a car, which is a very low number. Now, planes are much safer than, I would say commercial airlines are much safer than cars, and buses, public transportation, is much more safer than cars. And on the dangerous end, you have things like motorcycles and, you know, bicycles. Motorcycles and bicycles put you in around 20 deaths for every 100 million miles, which is about, there's a huge increase from cars, which is 1 to 20.
Aren't countries safer than travel?
What?
All your discussion about countries, but visiting countries, at least today,
yes,
is safer than travel.
Visiting countries are probably certainly safer than travel, 100%. So, in those cases, those things are normal things. Getting on a plane to go to, you know, Florida is a normal thing that people do all the time. Nobody second guesses it. And therefore, that is Shomer Pesach Hashem. Even if you're going to tell me, oh, you know, there's a danger, you get on a plane, you get in a car, but Dashu Be'Rabim, people do it all the time. And therefore, it's not even a factor. Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes in the Mincha Shlomo, Beis Lamed Zayin, he says, how do you define what's safik pikuach nefesh? What's the border? How do I know something is, you know, dangerous? He says, I'm very, very unsure. It's hard to put a definition on what's dangerous and what's not. Ella, shemitzad hasvara nirlefines daiti tuchol shederech rov bnei adam levroach mizeh. If people run away from that, that is a good definition of something that is beyond Shomer Pesach Hashem. That is a higher level of danger. If people run away from doing that, that is something that would be usur to do, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Asher Weiss, on a number of occasions, he says that Shomer Pesach Hashem applies to things that people do naturally in their everyday lives. People go about, people don't second guess it, people do it at every single moment. Rav Tzadok HaKohen has not just book of Hashkafa, but also books of Halakha. In the Teferes Tzvi Yeradeya Simen Tzadi Alf, he says, Kivan Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Shomer Rov Bnei Adam Azda HaSakana. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects most people, in this case, therefore the Sakana is removed. He looks at Shomer Pesach Hashem as a guarantee from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not that we do it and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us, but rather we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us and therefore Hashem removes the Sakana. So it's a guarantee, says Rav Tzadok, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will step in if it's something that people normally do and He will protect them. I saw Rav Unterman in the Shevet Yehuda on page Nun Aleph also saying that. It's a normal thing, people do it, you don't have to second guess it. Let's move, that's the basic risk that we don't have to think about. What about a more moderate risk? So, when it comes to a moderate risk, so those are the cases where we look at parnasa. Your job has a moderate risk. It's not everyone would do it, but, you know, people would run away from it. Not everyone would be so involved. So in that case, that's where we would apply the case of parnasa. For the case of parnasa, a person needs to go to a country where it's not so hospitable to Jews. You know, it's not the greatest place to live, and there might be a little bit of danger that comes along with it, and you might want to, you know, have something, a little backup plan when you go there. So in that case, that's certainly not the level of miyud hamatzli. It's not, you know, a 1 in 10 chance anyone who walks into the country is going to be put in jail. That's a high level. Miyud hamatzli is a 10% chance that something's going to become dangerous. It's less than that. So in that case, that's where this medium level of risk, we would allow someone to go for the sake of Parnassa, but just to go on a pleasure tour, you know, to the Ukraine is probably not allowed because that carries a level of risk that the United States government cannot guarantee your safety. And in that case, only for the sake of Parnassa could you go? It's not 100% sure sakana, but it does carry some risk, and therefore, for the sake of parnasa, in those cases, a person should be allowed to go. What about a high level of risk? What's how do we define what's aser? So there's a tshuva from the Imrei Eish in Yoredeya Siman Nun Beis. He was asked about someone who wanted to go to serve as a mercenary in the army, in the country that he lived in. And he wanted to make a parnasa from it. So the Imrei Eish quotes two gemaras. The first is the gemara dealing with David HaMelech and the Chashmonai. But David HaMelech would have wars all the time. David HaMelech would make a parnasa out of doing battles in order to have a parnasa for the Jewish people. And the gemara in Shavuos Lamed Hei on the base says, according to Tosus at least, that a king, where his soldiers go out to battle and a sixth of them die, that is the threshold of where the king is held responsible. If one sixth of your soldiers die in battle, says the Gemara, according to Tosos, so then that king is going to be held responsible for having people die. But less than a sixth, so then he's not held responsible. So the Imrei Eish says that that's the level. One sixth. If you enter into a situation where there's essentially a 16% chance of death, so then, or danger, so that becomes usur. That's a very, very, very high level. And the Imrei Eish is very, very questionable, as we'll see. He also brings a Gemara in Gidden and Daf Mem Zayim at Aleph that Reish Lakish went to fight cannibals. There were cannibals, and Reish Lakish knew that the cannibals gave you one last request, so that at least you would feel better about them eating you. And he said, my request is I get to give everybody one slap. And he had like a bowling ball in a bag that was tied up and they didn't see it. And he took the bowling ball and he slapped them all and he killed all the cannibals and he got rid of the cannibals. So the Imrei Eish says, we see from there, that Reish Lakish put himself in a case of sakana, in danger, you know, for some greater good. And these are his proofs. So the Chassam Sofer in Orach Chaim Reish Ches says that that's not a proof. According to the Imrei Eish is questionable. He's not attacking the Imrei Eish. But the Chassam Sofer says that a king has different status in halacha. There's the status of a melech. A melech can do certain things that we cannot do, that Basin can't do, that the Rabbanim can't do. And therefore, just because the king, you know, has the ability to draft people and put them in danger, you can learn out to other areas of halacha. Rav Zilberstein has a shiur in his Sefer Shiurei Tolu L'Rofim, in lectures that he gave to doctors. This is Chelek Beis, page 311. So he says that for some sort of parnasa or some greater good, you're allowed to put yourself in danger. But he says when it comes to a pleasure trip or a vacation to that place, so that is certainly not allowed. And but he notes, kasha l'kvoa b'diuk es hagvulos. It's hard to define what's very danger, that even dangerous that not even a parnasa would be okay, or something that's a little dangerous that for parnasa it would be okay. And when it comes to these things, again, it's very hard to define. But I think a general definition is, if the government is saying, don't go to this place, so it's probably a good idea to stay away unless you have a reason. If you have a reason for parnasa, if you have a reason for some sort of greater good that you're helping people out, you know, people who went to the Soviet Union in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, to help people out there, so that clearly carries a sakana. But at the same time, there's a greater good. So in that case, that's probably a medium level, where it's not usher to go. You have some sort of greater good, so then in that case, one would be allowed to go. Rav Aviner has a very interesting tshuva in his Shela Shlomo, in Chelek Gimel Simen Shin Mem Gimel. He was asked about people going to the Ukraine after the nuclear explosion in Chernobyl. And within the radius around Chernobyl for hundreds of kilometers, so there was a lot of radiation. And he was asked whether they could go to Ukraine to do Kiruv to the people there. And Rav Aviner said that he felt that it's only usher to go unless it's more than a rov or a mid hamatsui, some sort of high level, 1 in 10 chance that you're going to come out in some sort of danger. And therefore he said one is certainly allowed to go. So I think when it comes to halacha l'maisa, when it comes to pleasure trips to dangerous places, usher. Not allowed to go. You have to guard your soul, and you have to guard your nefesh. When it comes to a parnasa or a greater good, I think it's clear from the poskim that it is certainly allowed to go if you have a need and a necessity to go to these places even if the government recommends not going. And if it's somewhere, something where the government says, you know, very high levels, a place like Yemen, a place like Iraq, a place like Iran, those places where, you know, walking down the street, especially being a Jew, is, highly not a good idea. So those places are probably even usser, even with a Parnassa or some sort of a greater break.
What about, let's say, going to Sierra Leone if you're a doctor?
Yeah. I'm saying because Sierra Leone
Ebola.
Ebola. So they've been discussing Ebola. The discussion now is not about putting yourself in Savak Sakana in order to help somebody out, you know, for refuah. That's a whole another issue. In those cases, you know, there's room for discussion. If you think that there's pikuach nefesh, the person's going to die, and you're going to help them, so then there's certainly room. A whole other discussion is Eretz Yisrael. And
pikuach nefesh also, it's a Jew and non-Jew also. That's an issue also.
For another shir. So, so all these different factors come in. These are the basic principles when it comes to picking one's future vacation spots or place of work.
Hey, once you know.